Now, Nobis Domine from Kenneth Branagh's screen adaptation of Henry V, scored by renowned Scottish film score composer Patrick Doyle, a long-time collaborator of actor-director Kenneth Branagh. And this coming Monday night at the Waterfront in Belfast, a chance to see the composer and to hear a selection of his film music played by the Ulster Orchestra and Belfast Philharmonic Choir, conducted by James Sherman, with a pre-concert talk with the composer at 7pm. This is all in association with the Belfast Film Festival, featuring much of Doyle's music from Shakespeare's Hamlet to Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, from Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan to Marvel's Thor, and featuring special celebrity guests. I spoke to Patrick Doyle earlier this week and asked him firstly about his long-term association with Kenneth Branagh.
Well, I first saw him on stage, actually. The story had featured this character, which he played the lead, and he kept busting into impersonations of James Cagney, which I found incredibly impressive, and I found the most amazing man on stage there. And I met him socially, and then very shortly afterwards, he initiated the Renaissance Theatre Company and asked me to do in his third production of Twelfth Night, the music for that, and then from then on followed the collaboration on Henry V, my first film score. He's a great sense of humour, so do I have a good sense of humour, and we like a good giggle, and I really responded to his sense of humour and his artistic visions, and I was terribly impressed when I first met him, when he described Twelfth Night, the concept of the whole play. It was exactly as he had envisaged, and that is a fairly good representation as to how he actually works. He sees everything very clearly laid out ahead of him, and a very strong idea of what he would like. And he's got great artistic taste.
Well, I've just played Nobis Domine from Henry V on the programme. It's not only, I think, my favourite piece by you, but one of my favourite pieces of music. It always leaves the hair standing on the back of my neck. Such a beautiful, quiet beginning, though, Patrick, into this wonderfully climactic finish with choir and orchestra. Can you bring us back and tell us a little bit about composing that piece?
Well, I'll tell you how the piece began. We had a meeting inside the dressing room of the Manchester Royal, the Theatre Royal Manchester, and he had described the scene post Agincourt battle, and he talked me through the whole visual aspect of it that he had envisaged, and I went into the foyer of the theatre, and I sat down and I wrote the hymn to the words he gave me from his copy of Henry V. And I wrote in 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes, I wrote the Non Nobis, the melody, and I wrote another melody and brought them back to him very quickly. He said, either A or B, your choice. And I knew he would choose A, but I wanted to give him B as well. So he chose A, and that was it. And that's how the piece was conceived. He gave me the idea. As I described earlier, he described it in such detail that I saw the whole picture and wrote the piece very, very quickly. So that's the whole story of it.
Well, that is a great story. I love to hear the story behind that. And what an extraordinary debut score for you, and such success followed since. coming on to the other collaborations with Kenneth Branagh, that Shakespeare aside, it's an extraordinary mix, everything from Thor to Frankenstein to Jack Ryan. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, when you came to Thor, such a blockbuster, I presume a bigger budget, was there bigger scope for you as a composer?
Well, I've always used those, that kind of huge resource in terms of the size of the orchestra. That wasn't new to me, but because Frankenstein's an enormous orchestra. What was the challenge was the fact that movies, obviously from the point of Henry V, even action movies to the point of Thor, it's a span of 25 years. So as a composer, I'm a classically trained composer. So you're very much steeped in the world of classical music and the world of 19th and 20th, and now, of course, 21st century music, but certainly 19th and 20th century music was my musical background. So, and all these influences are in your collective, in your mind. But in the score for Thor had to be a much more what they call, in brackets, new cool. It had to be a very, very contemporary-sounding score. And I had really, I mean, there are technical things which, rather than bore your audience, for example, an octave above middle C, you've got lots of use of, and other, obviously, parts of the range, high flutes, high oboes, high clarinets, piccolo. All these are sort of fairly old-school sounds, you know, running up and down there. So, generally speaking, the sounds had to be in the range of what would be pop music, but still sound symphonic. So there are certain orchestrational demands made of you when you're writing that kind of music. So I had to rethink lots of my easy first thoughts and things. Oh, that'll get me through that. Oh, no, I can't do it anymore. It seems simple, but in fact, it's quite difficult for someone who to change their style so radically overnight. So that's what I had to do, and it was very good for me, and subsequently led to the kind of work that I did on Planet of the Apes and Jack Ryan. So it was a bit of a cathartic change.
That's very interesting, though, because I listen to hours of film music every week, and I have to say, with many composers, I can now, if you like, recognise a certain sound, the way they write, I can spot their scores. With you, it's never straightforward, Patrick, and I mean that as a huge compliment. You know, each of your scores, very individual, very unique. You don't seem to go for the obvious. So is this something you consciously work on?
But certainly in the world of drama, you've got to be wide open to the narrative, to the performances, to the visuals. So I think I like to keep the whole thing fresh, and I suppose these days you would call it attention deficit syndrome. I have a form of that, I suppose. I get bored very easily, and I like change.
So I'm
always keen for a challenge, and that's a cliche, but it's true. I'm always very keen to try something different, something new. I'm a bit of a polymath, so and I've tried all sorts of things in my career, but at one point I had to choose just to stick to doing music, because I enjoy so many other different disciplines involved in the art of film. A bit of acting, and, you know, I've done a bit of writing, and my love for film and film music has to incorporate an understanding of all the other disciplines and all the other crafts. So, and if I see them and they stimulate a certain way and change and excite me in a different way, then it's always reflected in the score. And I'm acutely aware that as a composer of film, you have to be adaptable and to be ready to make a change in order to literally to get the next job.
Well, we have, I know, a lot of Harry Potter fans listening in, so I have to mention Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which you scored. No joke, Patrick, to follow John Williams, and of course his Hedwig's theme would have been kept in. But again, you made this your own. Did it help that this film was sort of darker than the others? You could kind of put a different stamp on it.
Yes, very much so. And the characters were a lot older and becoming mature young adults. Obviously, during this period, these children are changing and morphing into adults, as indeed these other characters are starting to come into their life. And all of these maturing and romantic, dark elements all kaleidoscopically, I suppose, made it a far more interesting, meaty story. Yes, it was very daunting following anyone in a franchise sequence, but I suppose a similar thing happened in Henry V, because William Walter's great score for Olivia's version of that film sort of loomed behind, loomed large, but then and loomed smaller in the end, because I had a job in hand to do, and that's the same case with the fourth Harry Potter. I just have a job in hand to do
and a deadline.
A whole set of filmmakers that demand certain things, and the story was a very different story and allowed me scope for many new themes.
I want to talk to you briefly about both Sense and Sensibility, working with Ang Lee, and then Gosford Park, working with Robert Altman, because I'm wondering, when the film is set in a period like that, does that affect the music you write? And I'd love to know a little about your conversations with both Ang Lee and Robert Altman, what kind of freedom they gave you.
Well, very briefly, a few words. Robert, really, he just wants to chat about life and just have a gossip. In general, what were you doing last night, and, you know, all that sort of lovely sort of just general chit chat, extraordinary. And all he said to me was, after talking about life in general and his tastes and this, that, next thing, he just said, just make the score slightly off. And he said, it doesn't matter how mediocre your music is, you will not screw up what is a great movie already. And that made me laugh.
And off you go.
And that just made me laugh. And then he winked to me, you know, you won't. I've got a great movie, so you won't spoil it. And with Aang, he was just a very taciturn man, and he would just give you the odd word as a guidance, similar to Robert. He's very exacting, and he's very his attention to the minutiae is great. So there was I did lots and lots of research, despite the fact I was very familiar with 18th century music. I did lots of research to refresh my mind, and to explain to Anne, you know, the sources, and we discussed very in detail a lot of the research I'd done. So two different styles completely, but both men of few words when it came to describing what they wanted.
Now, you're back with Kenneth Branagh for the forthcoming Cinderella. How's that going?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It looks absolutely unbelievable. The film is spectacular looking. It's a classic movie. I'm seeing it tomorrow again. It just completely blew me away. And I've written the teaser / trailer for it, which is coming out soon. And I've written the four dances for the ballroom sequence, which is staggering. So I think everyone is in for a complete thrilling treat.
Oh, looking forward to it. And maybe you'll come back and talk to us when it's all done and dusted and released.
I'd love to.
I could talk to you all day, Patrick, but sadly we're out of time. But just tell us a little more about Monday night's concert at the Waterfront with the Ulster Orchestra. What can we expect?
Well, there's a whole selection of music from the films I worked on with Ken, from Thor, from Jack Ryan, from As You Like It, from Hamlet, from Much Ado About Nothing, from Sleuth. And we've got Fiona Shaw, the terrific actress Fiona Shaw. She's reciting some Shakespeare live with an orchestra accompanying her. As indeed is Michael Maloney, and that's very exciting. A lot of people, when they've seen this in the past, done with Ken and Derek Jacobi, they've completely been blown away by the fact they're hearing an actor live and accompanied by a blasting symphony orchestra. It's not a genre; it's a sort of fairly new art form, and it harks back to the world of melodrama, when you had music live played against theatre. So it's very, very exciting. So and of course there's a wonderful choir here as well. So it's going to be a fantastic evening.
I'm really looking forward to it. Sounds wonderful. Patrick, we're going to go out on Strike Up Piper, Sign of More Ladies from Much Ado About Nothing. Could I ask you to introduce it for us?
Well, I remember this was filmed in something like 110 degrees, and we all had to dance and sing through the Villa Maggio in Tuscany about 19 times. But when you see it, it looks as fresh as a daisy. So when you think about it, just think of it all. We've all lost about 19 stone during it.
I'm going to watch that in a whole new light now.
But it was a complete summary of a wonderful six weeks spent in Tuscany, and I shall never forget it. What a fantastic part of the world, and we had tremendous fun.